Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again that you are a speaking God, that you speak to us through your word, the Bible. Please give us soft hearts so that we are ready to receive and believe and obey your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you ever question whether it's really worth being a Christian? I expect most of us, if not all of us, do at times in the different situations and stages of our lives. The idea of packing it all in for an easier life might just cross our minds, or we might find ourselves cooling off, drifting away from Jesus. Some of our seniors may well look back to days gone by, when they were active and wholehearted in their faith, perhaps as students, but now they feel half-hearted. It's hard to stick with Jesus and keep going when feeling weak or weary, possibly lonely, facing less contact with other Christians. Our teenagers and students may well be tempted to give it all up, because living and speaking for Jesus among friends is hard. In recent weeks, Mike has described our young people as being on the front line when it comes to biblical views on sex and gender. Speak up and you're likely to be shot down or cancelled. It could be that you're married to someone who isn't a Christian, and your spouse's life seems easier, carefree, guilt-free. You see them living as they please, and it can make you feel jealous or frustrated. Perhaps you're not a Christian, but you're exploring the Christian faith. I'm mulling over that very question: is it worth it? Do I really want to follow Jesus? In John chapter 15, Jesus is alone with his disciples just before his arrest, sham trial, and death. He knows what's about to happen, and he's told them that he's going away. Unsurprisingly, they're troubled and unsettled. And this passage in front of us forms part of Jesus' final message to them. Again and again, he commands them, remain in me, remain in me. Sticking with Jesus is going to be very hard for the disciples in the next few days and beyond. But he gives them good reasons to remain and tells them how to do it. With that in mind, let's take a closer look at what Jesus says. So, why remain in Jesus? The first reason is to be fruitful. Remain to be fruitful. Jesus uses this wonderful picture of himself as a vine and people as branches. God the Father is the gardener. And what he's looking for is fruit. So, God prunes every branch that bears fruit. And as he prunes, he works so that it might become more fruitful. It's a great analogy, not least because we can all relate to it. We're used to seeing or even growing plants and trees and bushes that bear fruit. But also because the whole point of a vine is to bear fruit. That's what it's for. I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus tells his disciples. Which means that our purpose in life is to bear fruit. That's why I chose you, to bear fruit, he says later. And as we bear fruit, God prunes us and makes us even more fruitful. It's a vibrant picture of growth and development, where life comes from being connected to Jesus, the vine. And God the Father gets to work for our good, changing us and making us more pleasing to him. If you want to live, if you want to grow in strength and stature, if you want to fulfill your purpose in life, then you need to stick with Jesus. Remain in me, Jesus says. And as we remain in him, he remains in us. It's a two-way connection. So what is this fruit? Jesus tells us more about it later, but we do get a clue here in verse 3. And I have to say, I found this a real puzzle until I learned that the word for clean in the original language is very similar to the word for prune. It's a wordplay. You're clean, you're pruned, because of the word I have spoken to you. Jesus' word, his life-giving message, has already been at work in his disciples. That's where fruit comes from. And God the Father uses the word to change them and us. And pruning may be painful. After all, it's trimming and cutting away. But ultimately, it produces greater strength and more fruit. God loves us just as we are, but he loves us more than to leave us as we are. He gives us life and nurtures and cares for us so that we might become what he would have us be, even more beautiful and pleasing in his sight. Why remain in Jesus? To be fruitful. That's the first reason. Secondly, remain in Jesus to avoid destruction. Remain in Jesus to avoid destruction, which is a shocking point to make. And I would have found it easier to choose a more subtle title. But surely this is the point that Jesus is making here. He warns us to remain in him to avoid destruction. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. God cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit, verse 2. So there are no exceptions. And why would there be? Fruitless branches are useless branches. They serve no purpose. When you prune a plant, you don't just leave the lifeless branches, you get rid of them. Ian will no doubt have a big bonfire on the allotment. You might just put them on the compost heap or take them to the tip, but you dispose of them one way or another. And so it is with God, the perfect gardener. He is precious about his vine. He wants his vine to be strong and fruitful, which means cutting off everything that lacks or hinders fruitful growth. Clearly, this is just an analogy, but there is real meaning behind it. Jesus has told us that branches represent people whom God will judge. Sorry, I lost my place. Jesus has told us that branches represent people whom God will judge. People who are alive in Jesus will grow and mature, whereas people who are not alive in Jesus face destruction. Now, Jesus' intention is not to shake the faith of his followers. Remember, the disciples are troubled, and he's trying to comfort them and prepare them for what's to come. And he wants to reassure us this morning too, if we've put our trust in him. So if these verses make you doubt whether you really have fruitful faith, then please hold on to the many assurances Jesus gives here. For example, that his followers are already clean, already pruned, because they have received Jesus' word. So if you have heard and believed the gospel, you are alive in Christ. And that's just one example. There are many more assurances to come. So Jesus doesn't want to shake the confidence of his disciples. But, if you think that you're fine without Jesus, that you can live a fruitful and fulfilling life without him, then this is a sobering warning for you. Because no Jesus means no life. No Jesus means no life. There is no point or purpose to life without Jesus. Clearly, most people, live life apart from Jesus. And they may look happy and self-sufficient. Branches may look green and promising. But God is looking for fruit. And verse 4, no branch can bear fruit by itself. In fact, verse 5, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. What an offensive thing to say. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If that doesn't offend our independence and pride, I don't know what will. However, Jesus really does mean it. We are lifeless, useless, and destined for destruction without him. So if this morning you are living life without Jesus, can I urge you to consider this claim? Don't let offence or stubbornness stop you from at least exploring whether what he is saying is true. For those of us who know it to be true, there's a stark reminder for us here of the urgent need to share Christ with others, with friends and neighbours who know nothing of the danger of life without Jesus. So that's the second reason to remain, to avoid destruction. And thirdly, remain in Jesus to glorify God. Remain in Jesus to glorify God. You might like to follow with me from verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. God's glory is the ultimate aim here. Not fruitfulness for the sake of it, but fruitfulness that brings glory to God. Think of it like this. If you have green fingers and you get to work in your garden or allotment, I hope there are times when you stand back and smile to feast your eyes on the change, the size, the colour, the beauty, the fruit of your labours. After all, by the summer, you may have spent many hours, months, nurturing that growth. And to think that we delight the Creator God as he stands back and surveys the results of his work in us. It's incredible, isn't it? Did you know that? You and I can please and honour and glorify God as he continues and completes his nurturing care in us over many years. One day he will stand back and look at his vine, Christ and his church, and he will say, wow, that's wonderful. What an amazing thought. And future reality. That's where we're heading. All for God's glory. Before we move on, there's another assurance here. Because Jesus says that fruitfulness also shows our discipleship. It displays and proves that we really do belong to Jesus. Sometimes it's easier to see in others than in ourselves. But evidence of faith in action, a changed life, God at work in us, should encourage us because it shows our relationship with Jesus to be real, to be alive. Remaining in Jesus is relational. He speaks to us through his word, which remains in us, and we speak to him in prayer, with the privilege of asking whatever we wish in his name, and knowing that it will be done. It will be done in keeping with the overall plan of bringing glory to the Father. We need to move on. Three reasons to remain in Jesus: to be fruitful, to avoid destruction, to glorify God. So far we've sort of covered the first eight verses, verses 1 to 8. We're moving on to the second half, 9 to 17. So we need to remain in Jesus, but how do we remain in Jesus? What does that look like in practice? Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. We remain in Jesus by remaining in his love. We remain in Jesus' love by keeping his commands, which is not what we might expect. We don't tend to put love and obedience together. One sounds freely given with feeling from the heart. The other might sound restrictive, unfeeling and heartless even, just obeying orders. They sound like opposites, but Jesus says they go hand in hand. So, verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And verse 17, this is my command, love each other. And now we start to see the connection between the connection with Jesus' words. We need to know what he says to keep his commands. And what we do with his words shows what we think of him. What we do with his words shows what we think of him. If we ignore and reject and disobey his word, we demonstrate that we don't love him and that we want to live life without him. By contrast, if we receive and believe and obey his word, we demonstrate that we love him and that we want to live life with him, dependent on him. We put his word to practice and he works in and through us to make us mature and fruitful. So we remain in Jesus by keeping his commands, to love him by loving each other, the church. Now, we do that in countless ways, don't we? By listening and serving and caring for each other, by supporting and encouraging one another, by praying and offering hospitality and so on and so forth. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We love each other as a family. If you're new to St. Peter's, perhaps you're visiting or you've been coming for a number of months, I hope that you see love in the way that we live and prioritise each other's needs. There should be something different and attractive about us, about the way that we treat each other. So hopefully we're encouraged as we reflect and see that this is something we're already doing. We do love each other. And yet, as we look again at Jesus' command, we see that this is something that we don't do. Not really. Because deep down, most of all, I love myself. That's why Jesus' command to love your neighbour as yourself is such a fitting standard, because we love ourselves so much. Self-love comes naturally. At the end of the day, I think that life revolves around me. This attitude is the essence of sin. Love for self is the opposite of love for Jesus, love for others. It cuts us off from Jesus. What else does Jesus say about our love for each other? Well, verse 12, it should be like his love for us, which is like his Father's love. Perfect. And verse 13, we should love each other to death. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This love knows no limits. Nothing is too much or too costly. So we're faced with a problem, aren't we? Who can say that they love like that? As I read the first reading from Isaiah, I tried to convey the sense of tragedy of God's vineyard. It was a complete failure. It was meant to be a love song about God's delight in his vines, his people. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard, Isaiah begins. God did everything for them. He dug and cleared and planted and built and cut. And then he looked for good grapes, but it yielded only bad. And so God appeals to his people as witnesses. What more could I have done for you? After all that work and loving care, it turned out to be a disaster. But God's people then and now never would produce a good crop by themselves, and the answer would never come from them. But that's why John 15 is so exciting. As Jesus announced, I am the true vine. God sent his Son to earth for us, and he lived the perfect life that we could never live. He loved to death, laying down his life for us, his friends. He gave his life as a gift for us, so that his Father would delight in us in the same way that he delights in him. Jesus then died the death we deserve for our unfaithfulness, the wasteland of bad fruit, fruitlessness in our lives. He was cut off from the Father for us, so that we might live through him, the true vine. That's the life-giving news that Jesus brings. His final word to his troubled disciples to give them life that lasts beyond death. And his word to us today, so that we know how to live and remain in him. So I hope you see that his message isn't try harder, be better, grow up. Obey to live. That's not the Christian message. That's not the message of the Bible. Rather, we recognize that life is from him and through him and for him. true and lasting life with God is a gift from him, from being connected to him. He is faithful in life and death where we are not. But we do respond to his love for us by loving him back, by obeying his commands. Surely it's how we want to respond after all that he's done for us. And as we obey, we show that we are his friends and that we remain in his love. Notice one more assurance of Jesus' love before we close. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. If our eternal destiny depended on choosing Jesus, then we might well worry, because we're fickle and half-hearted. Our motives are mixed. We might question, does he know that I've chosen him? Have I done enough? But our eternal destiny depends on Jesus choosing us. It depends on Jesus, who has been completely faithful to us and for us. So it's not a question of how good we are. Let me say that again. It's not a question of how good we are or how well we hold on to him. He is the one who holds on to us. As we sang earlier, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Saviour loves me so. He will hold me fast. We would usually celebrate the Lord's Supper together on the third Sunday of the month to remember Jesus' death on the cross in our place. And we're not going to have the Lord's Supper today after all, but we will have a time of quiet to reflect on what it means to remain in Jesus and what our personal response needs to be. Here are a few suggestions. You might relate to these, you might not. But after I've shared these ideas, we'll have a time of quiet. If you're not a Christian and you're exploring the Christian faith, again, please don't be put off by Jesus' bold claims. Some of the things Jesus says are outrageous. But do explore whether they are true. Surely the claims are too big to ignore and just sort of brush under the carpet. Is Jesus speaking for real when he says, I am the true vine. Life comes from me and me alone. Without me, you can do nothing. You could be a Christian who's drifting, struggling, and you feel you need to get back, stick with Jesus and reconnect with him. And so maybe this morning you want to return to him, knowing that life comes from him and through him, from being connected to Jesus, the vine. Do remember the reasons why to remain. Hold on to those and return to Jesus. He longs to have you back. Maybe you've been struck by the command to love. Maybe convicted of a lack of love for brothers and sisters at church, or perhaps a particular person that you find difficult. Maybe there's someone you need to love who you've neglected recently. Maybe there's somebody you need to tell, sharing the danger of what life is like without Jesus and the good news of the life that he offers, that only he can give. Finally, maybe you feel weak and weary and you just need to cling on to those assurances. There are others in there. Do enjoy the passage over the coming days. Look for more assurances there where Jesus wants to reassure you of his love. To get through another week secure in Jesus' love is victory. So don't be shaken by the challenges and the striking things that Jesus says here. He wanted to reassure his disciples. And if you trust in Jesus, he wants to reassure you this morning too. Let's have a time of quiet to reflect. And then in a moment, we'll sing. In fact, let's pray before we sing. Father, thank you for sending your Son for us. Thank you that he speaks the truth. Thank you that you invite us to remain in him. Please help us over the coming days to remember why we need to do that. Please help us to reflect on how we do that. And please help us to do it. To remain in Jesus, to remain in his love, to keep his commands, knowing that you are holding on to us and you will keep us as we trust in you. Please give us soft hearts over the coming days with a willingness to change, to remain connected to Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.